Ladies and gents, welcome back. Episode 189.
Yeah, I think so, Ryan.
Yeah.
We're back. Myself, Jake, Tyler, and his broken leg.
And my broken leg.
Yeah. Cat's out of the bag.
Broke my fucking
leg. Leg's not out of the sling, though.
Leg.
Or the air cast.
Leg is fully air casted up.
Freak injury.
Freak injury, dude. For all the people saying it happened because of old age, this injury would have happened if I was 21 or I was 45.
For sure. Yeah. But there is a... until you reach like your upper 20s, it's hard to believe, like, you know, your body kind of starts breaking down a little bit. You get more sore. It's like as a young 20-year-old, you're like, it's only 10 years from now. I feel good at this point.
How could my body possibly deteriorate that much in just 10 short years?
Yeah, but it definitely
it
does.
Sure does.
I mean, and you're not in sports anymore, so you're not like working out as much.
You have to be more intentional about your activity. Like
definitely.
At 19, the activity just happened naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether you're in sports or you're just outside fucking around, you have free time, you're in like recreational sports, slow pitch softball, soccer leagues, yada, yada, yada. It happens way more naturally, and you have to like be really intentional to be active
for sure.
Our age.
Yeah, and I think actually having kids is a good thing at this age too, because eventually that you're gonna become more active in like sports specific play.
Yeah, they like force you into it.
Yes,
because your kid's gonna need someone out there to teach him how to throw a ball.
Definitely,
swing a bat.
There's a huge lag time between like I'd say 25 and like 30, early 30s,
mm-hmm.
to where you might start having kids, but also your kids are very young, so they're not going to be really doing sports specific stuff. But like your kid in wrestling, or like my one and a half year old just started, he had no interest in shooting the basketball in his little tykes hoop, but now it's his go-to every time we get home.
You know how much I hate basketball? My kids are fucking obsessed. They have three hoops.
Yeah.
They got remember the old Gatorade hoop that was in the old office?
Yep.
That was gifted to us. We have that one.
Perfect.
We have a little Tykes hoop. And then on street cleanup, we got one of those teeny tiny, like shoot the basket, it rolls down the tarp back to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like we have out here.
Yeah. Except not electronic.
Sure.
Just whatever. But they have three basketball hoops and they'll play for hours and it kills me because I hate basketball.
Dude. And that's the problem too, is that the Minnesota basketball team, the Wolves are getting pretty good right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to rub off on your kids.
Yeah, we're not turning any basketball on until they're asleep. I am interested in the Wolves. Like, don't get me wrong. I shouldn't say I hate basketball. It's just my least favorite winter sport.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I've been saying it about the Wolves all year. I've watched before the playoffs. I think I watched a total of like 15 seconds of NBA basketball.
Yeah.
Same.
And I'm invested now.
I'll first one to admit I am a full on Fairweather fan. Like I've always, if you were to ever, like 5 years ago, if you were to ask me who my favorite NBA team was, I would have just said the Timberwolves.
Definitely.
Because they're Minnesota. But I didn't actually give a shit about how they did.
Yep.
And now that they're really good, I'm interested.
I'm
not going to say like it's going to make or break my year if they win, but I'm curious anyway.
Yeah, and there's definitely a difference between a Fairweather fan and a bandwagon fan. Mm-hmm. Like we are not bandwagoners, because it'd be different if we were like super invested with the Golden State Warriors or the LA Lakers.
You have no connection to that team.
Correct.
Whatsoever.
Right. But this is the hometown team.
Yeah, Jared made a good point. You cannot be a bandwagoner if you're from the state where the team is.
Correct.
Even if you lived in Massachusetts your whole life and were never interested in football and then said you were a Patriots fan, you're not a bandwagoner because you live there. That's your team.
Yeah. I even say the same about people who live in Iowa that are Vikings fans.
Right.
Because they don't have a professional sports team like really anywhere close. Yeah. So I know a few people from Iowa that are big Vikings fans, or they're Packer fans.
Yep.
And I don't even consider that.
Very few are Bears fans.
I mean, I would say that's hometown team because you ain't got anything closer.
Yeah, or even look at North Dakota, like the western half, you see a lot of Broncos fans.
Or Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks. And then the eastern half is mostly Vikings fans and stuff like that.
Dude, I feel like living in western North Dakota would kind of fucking suck.
I feel like western North Dakota is way cooler than here.
But
you get like the Badlands and
in terms of scenery, yes. But okay, let me rephrase that. As a professional sports fan, living in Western North Dakota would suck. Sorry, I should have phrased it like that.
It'd be real hard to get to a game for any team.
Yeah. It'd be an 8 or more hour drive to the cities.
Right.
It's 3.5 from where we're at, and we are 10 minutes from the Minnesota border.
Yeah. Also, because North Dakota doesn't have a sports team, you're still technically blacked out from all local broadcasts of all Minnesota teams. And so, I mean, initially it was like, hey, we're just going to black out Minneapolis because you could just go buy a ticket to the, you know, Wolves game or whatever. And then you drive all the way out to St. Cloud and then you can watch a TV game out there.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it was no big deal. That's how it initially was. And now it's just expanded all the way out to the other side of North Dakota. Blackouts get all the way out there and it's a fucking 8 hour drive and it's a nightmare.
Yeah. But I think
we completely
buried the broken leg. Oh, welcome back to the pod, Double Bogey Show. We are presented by Nicolet Law and our personal injury lawyer.
Ours, yes, but now he's the front man for your situation.
I have broken my leg at work.
We're in litigation with Miles and the You Betcha team.
Yep. I'm gonna sue the fucking pants off of Miles. No, I will not be suing Miles. I assume all responsibility for my actions. It was my idea to play football. So, Russell, this would be the one instance where I got hurt at work and I will not be calling you. I apologize. But any other time anyone else gets hurt at work, you call Russell Nicolet. His whole family works there. He's a Midwest guy, real t-shirt and jeans type of dude. But when it when it comes to the courtroom, our man is going to be blacked out, ready to go.
Kind of like would you compare it to like Will Smith and Men in Black?
I would. He might even wear the shades from the billboard.
Let's go.
I'm not fucking with a lawyer in shades in the courtroom.
Hell no.
Imagine trying to object to something he says and he glares back and you just see your own reflection scared looking back in his glasses.
Would love to see Amber Heard looking into those glasses. She was scared the way anyway.
A terrible joke that I can't say in an ad read. I've been personally injured at work and it's honestly unfortunate that I'm not calling him, but I'm not doing that to Miles. It was truly my choice to play. But if you get hurt at work, head to nicolaylaw.com. They'll help you out. So full story time. Should I just let her rip or what?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So Friday, what is it? Every 3 months we have like a little company.
We call her
a day at noon on a Friday and we hang out. And so this Friday we were decided to grill, hanging out on the back patio, gorgeous day out, sucking down hot dogs and burgers and barbecue starting to wind down and people are throwing the football around in the yard. And then some one-on-one routes were being ran.
Yep.
And I could feel the testosterone building and the intent to prove I'm better than you going on is all unspoken. No one was talking shit. But then I came up with the idea, like, how about we just play 5-on-5 two-hand touch football to just kind of stifle the testosterone, spread it out evenly so it isn't just 1v1 anymore.
Yep. It's also kind of a team building activity.
Yeah. And it's fun. Like we're all has-beens. Half of us played college sports.
Yep.
And like we wanted to be athletic for a little bit. And so we get a 5-on-5 game going on. And it's pretty tight. It's us three were on a team.
Yep.
And we played pretty good, I think, actually.
I agree. Yeah. We had a huge stop on the first drive.
Yep.
Until if we figured out the field is too small to where you can't, there's no time to get separation on the deep ball.
Right. So it was like a, what, maybe 35 yard field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 35, 40
yards. We just did four downs to score.
Yep.
Because you can dink and dunk with no alignment pretty easily.
Yeah.
But so we were playing, it was going pretty damn well. And there was a route we were up. We were tied 2-2, and we were playing to 5. And there's a route where I was going to run a 5-yard out. And Trevor, who decided not to show up today because he's scared to show his fucking face around me, I ran a 5-yard out and I absolutely juked Trevor out of his fucking shoes.
I think I saw socks come off. Like they just stayed in the dirt.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Trevor's, I think they're still out there. They're like buried in the dirt.
Might have to go find those.
No, I'll leave them there. It's a memorial.
He might have.
For my leg.
Yeah. So if actually, he was sitting there and I'd be like, what do you mean?
No, then the thing is I'm not blaming him because I would have done the same damn thing in his situation if I was 23. So I'm not mad at him because I totally get it. I would be really fucking embarrassed if I got burnt by an old man too. Yeah. So it wasn't like a true 5 yard out. I ran like a quick 3-step slant and then cut outside really quick. And he wasn't ready for the cut outside really quick because we were running a lot of slants. I was setting him up for it all game. And so Trevor gets dusted. Ryan recognizes it immediately. He's QB1.
Actually.
So he throws the out and Trevor, realizing he is beat, puts it into overdrive. And so he's recovering and he's coming in at 100 miles an hour. And he was diving to break up the pass.
Yeah.
And didn't work because I still caught the ball. But we don't know. There's four different opinions on what body part of Trevor's hit my leg directly above the ankle bone. So I think it was his knee. Some people think it was his shin. I've heard heel. And I've also heard head, which doesn't check out.
Yeah, the head doesn't check out.
That one's out.
I'll tell you this, Tyler, because we were such a well-oiled machine, you know, I just, you know, just tried to sit over the top of the middle and find a little separation, just wait for Ryan to toss it to me. It's what I was doing all game. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think I probably led yards for everybody. I was doing that. And then once I saw the pass go out to you, obviously the head turns and I watch it go down and I saw Trevor come in from the side, mm-hmm. right? And from what I saw, I believe that it was Trevor's shin and or lower leg that hit your lower leg too.
Okay.
Because he was leaping to dive out forward
mm-hmm.
to try and break up the pass.
Yes.
But in doing that, he left his left rear, like his left foot drag behind him, and that's what made contact.
Okay. Yeah. So it hit me directly above the ankle bone. The ankle rolls, right? And I hear a crack. And I'm assuming just twisted up my ankle, right? I'm like, it hurt. So I sat there for a little bit. Obviously, I caught the ball. I had to maintain possession. That was priority number one.
Which, great job on that, Tyler.
Thank you.
He tried to help you up right away, too.
He did. He knew it. He probably felt it. I didn't think it was a broken fucking leg.
No, I don't think it. And nobody did.
So I get up and I'm like, trying to be tough guy. I'm like, I'm fine. And then we walk back over to the huddle. I'm like, I'm not running a fucking route. Ryan, give me the ball. So I played quarterback. It was fourth down. And then Jake did exactly what he said he just did. He sat in the middle. And then I threw a touchdown on a broken leg to Jake sitting there perfectly in the middle while everyone else just ran around in circles.
Yeah.
Created perfect separation because yeah. I think it was Jared who was kind of sitting right by you. And then he took off to a corner and everyone left.
Yeah.
But anyway, threw a touchdown to Jake. And then, so obviously we're on defense next. And I had been playing, Ryan and I have been playing two high safeties the whole game. And I was like, I cannot run on this. And I looked down and I had this giant ass goose egg right above the ankle bone. And I decided to call it then and there.
Probably a smart decision.
Yeah, it would have not been good to continue playing the game with my broken leg. But at the time, I didn't know if it was... Miles assumed that it was a bone bruise because he's an exercise scientist,
yeah.
Which was an assessment that I probably agreed with. But then I just kind of... I'm sitting in a lawn chair, right? And I was like, can someone grab me ice? And you two both run into the building. Ryan comes back with like a normal bag of ice.
With age comes wisdom.
Jake, I appreciate your help. I really do. But what you came back with is hilarious.
Well, because here's the thing is, you tell it. And then I'll go on defense mode.
Ryan comes back with a normal bag of ice in a plastic bag. Jake comes back with a frozen slab of bacon and a t-shirt. The bacon is by no means malleable. So it would have covered like a centimeter by centimeter radius on my broken leg. And you were doing me a solid. And I do appreciate you going in there and going into mom mode and helping me. but it was just funny as shit that you came back with a slab of bacon. Bacon
and then a t-shirt filled with ice. Yeah. Like I just wrapped.
Oh yeah.
I forgot the t-shirt was filled with ice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was.
I forgot that there was ice in the t-shirt.
Yeah, because when you were just like, I need ice, I was like, okay, I'm going to make this happen as fast as possible. And then, yeah, so I just grabbed whatever I could. Thankfully, Ryan knew where plastic bags were. And so Ryan went in.
No, it was a bag that a tablecloth was in. So I just ripped the top of the bag, took the tablecloth out, and then just filled that with ice.
It almost ended up being perfect because it was like one of those 5-pound bags of ice. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was great. Me and Ryan just sprung into action. And yeah,
we have like a bunch of bacon in the freezer. Because if you watch You Betcha videos, we did that ranch bacon taste test.
Yep.
It was a slab of the ranch bacon from that taste test video.
Well, yeah, there was, I did bring ice as well, but then because here's the problem is that when you have ice and you wrap it in like a cloth or something like that, it doesn't melt right away. And so you don't really get the coldness.
It was a pretty thick shirt too.
Yeah, it's a pretty thick shirt. So I was like, okay, well, if Tyler wants immediate relief, then we can just slap a fucking thing of bacon on it. And then, yeah.
So let's say I didn't use the bacon.
Didn't use the t-shirt.
We tried the t-shirt either. Ice right away, but it just all kind of fell out of the sleeve or the neck hole or something and just sort of fell out. I do remember that now.
Yeah.
But then I Irish goodbye. I didn't tell anyone I was going home. I just snuck home.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even notice you left.
Yep.
Didn't even notice.
I just quietly walked. You guys were all deciding if you were going to play the game again or not. And I just quietly went into the office, got my keys and drove home with my broken leg. This is my right leg. And I was trying to figure out how to drive, but I just left foot brake, right foot gas. But I didn't know that it was broken. So I told my wife, she really wanted me to go in, that we'll just give it the night to see if it's a bone bruise, like Miles said, or if it just rolled my ankle or something.
Yep.
I woke up in the morning and my leg looked like this boot without the boot on it. I'm like, we better go in.
There's nothing I'd rather. The last thing I would want to do on a Saturday morning is go and get my leg checked out, knowing there's a full, beautiful weekend ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even walk on this thing, but I have to go to the doctor and get it checked out.
Well, no,
it's an inconvenience.
I was being stubborn about it too. Not because like I didn't think I was hurt, but it was like, if I don't go to the doctor, they can't confirm that I'm hurt. And then I don't fuck my eighth month pregnant wife over by being hobbled and crippled when she's got to take care of our two kids when she's ready to pop at any moment.
Yeah.
And it's wowzers. Mother's Day weekend and I'm sitting on the couch with a broken leg. I just didn't want to go and have them confirm it was broken. Cause then it's a reality.
Yeah.
You know, there's no speculation.
Yeah. You don't want to believe it if you don't have to.
So we went in, doc gives me x-rays and they're like, yep, you broke it. So we're going to hook you up with it's clean break on the fibula. So, which is a good bone to break because it's not very load bearing. Heals pretty quick. She's like, we're going to put you in an air cast, which is just a fancy boot for 4 to 6 weeks and get you crutches and get you out of here. And my nurse will be in a second to give you your stuff. And so Dr. Lee's nurse comes in. She's like, hey, bad news. We don't have any boots that'll fit you. The biggest boot we have here is for somebody 5'9". So I was like, well, can we get a boot from somewhere else?
It's insane that a clinic that probably goes through this a lot, I'm sure. Fibulas. I mean, you'd think they would have a stock of air casts on hand.
Well, the thing was, too, it is air casts are typically used most often in post-op surgery, like post-op recovery, right? This clinic I went to is connected to the orthopedic surgery office in town. So if you're telling me there wasn't a fucking air boot next door, you're out of your goddamn mind. So my theory is this nurse was at the end of her shift. She knew that I've been walking on it for a day and a half at this point, and she just sent me out of there because she didn't want to go and find another boot because you can't tell me that there wasn't any boots or crutches. She didn't give me crutches either. She just literally sent me home, told me to walk out of there with my broken ass leg. Like, how about you go raw dog your broken leg for the entire weekend because the medical accessory store doesn't open till Monday. I feel like it's almost...
Also, you'd think the medical accessory store, and I, again, this is all just speculation, but you'd think they'd be open on like every day of the week.
Yeah.
People get injured at every day of the week.
Right. Yeah. Number one issue is you're not stocked in the urgent care clinic, which is where people go for urgent care.
Yeah.
Number two, you're connected to the orthopedic surgeon's department. If you can't walk through the door and find the thing they give to people after they get their orthopedic surgeries, I don't know what's going on.
You know, you might not have a case against You Betcha because you openly admitted that, you know,
it's my fault
to do it.
Yep.
But you might have a case against freaking wherever you went.
Honestly,
for malpractice.
There's potential malpractice suit brewing. So maybe I will get my call to Nicolet.
Yeah, you should have just like not aircasted it because they didn't have one. And then wrecked it even more and be like, okay, well, you know, lost wages. And
just trip on the stairs and just break my tib too.
Yeah.
Go full tib fib just to get some cash.
How much would you do that? How much cash would you do that for?
Well, it would get bumped up because it would be, I don't remember the term. What's the term? Because lost wages wouldn't really be the huge issue.
Like short-term disability?
Short-term disability, it would be like psychological damages.
Okay.
Would be through the roof because my wife is 8 months pregnant.
Yep.
That's true.
So psychological damages for her and for you.
Yes.
And your kids.
Cost to the family. Yep.
Yeah.
Forcing a mother to single parent while 8 months pregnant because of malpractice and the inability to find a boot.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds like you got a great case.
So what I ended up doing is my dad fucked his ankle up like 3 months ago. So on Mother's Day, my wife had to drive me to Frazee, Minnesota to pick up my dad's boot because he's the same height as me and it fits. And I had messaged the doctor Sunday morning. I was like, hey, this is the boot my dad has. Will this work? Or is this the right kind of boot? She's like, yeah, but why don't you have one? I was like, well, your nurse said you guys were out. She's like, you should have gotten one. She's like, did you get crutches? I was like, no, I did not get crutches. And she's like, you should have gotten crutches. I'm like, well, I got crutches from my dad too. And so there's probably actually a malpractice suit that I could probably win, but
yeah, we should probably look into that maybe.
But I don't have the fucking time for that, and I didn't break my leg extra, so they were right in the grand scheme of things. But here we are.
So Tyler, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, actually off podcast, where you had mentioned that you're actually desperately finding a way for you to be able to golf through having a broken leg.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing where I could do lost wages there. Like, I can't golf.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm a golf podcaster.
Yeah.
It is my job. So maybe that is another lost wages plus the psychological damages. But I've been scheming on how we can continue to get golf content other than me just becoming the videographer and crutching my way down the fairway. Do you remember 2 years ago, I was golfing with a buddy who also had a boot on, and he had one of those little fucking knee scooter guys.
Yeah, scooter.
His name is Twiggy, but his real name is Mitch, but not the Mitch that was formerly on this podcast. But Twiggy had one of those knee scooters, and he golfed on that, and we posted a clip of it, and it crushed. So I think I just got to get a knee scooter.
This actually might be like, this could fix your swing right here.
It honestly could.
It's like, hey, everything happens for a reason. Well, this may get rid of the nasty duck hook.
Well, like it will absolutely force my hands to get better because my body cannot hit the ball. I will be all arms, so it will force my hands to improve.
Get rid of that hook. Yeah, usually your hips will slow down a little bit because you're a little immobile and slow down your tempo.
Yeah, it always seems to be like weird shit like this when you finally can maybe figure something out.
Right. So
I don't know a scenario of another time that has happened, but we're going to go with it anyway.
The only problem is obviously there's no fucking knee scooters in Fargo because they don't have any boots.
No, they're all crutches. So yeah.
The chances of them having a knee scooter are slim to none. So I've been scouring Facebook Marketplace for a used knee scooter, and the closest one is Bismarck.
Oof.
And I am not driving to Bismarck.
Tell you got $100?
Yeah, I do have at least $100.
Free delivery from Walmart. For a $100 knee scooter, and it's got a little bag on the front. You put your tees in there.
Ooh,
yeah. Does it have a winch on the front, or like any sort of like hitch receiver,
just in case? Oh, so you can hook Tyler up to
the golf cart.
Yeah, that's genius. You know, I don't see that, but I'm sure we could get it. We could bring it over to Fargo Customs and get a tow package on that sucker.
Yeah,
so. Send me that link, Jake.
Yeah, I will.
But if any of our listeners want to have a knee scooter. You guys have come through big for us before. I got a driver from a listener. We've gotten all sorts of stuff from listeners. If anyone's got a knee scooter they're trying to get rid of, shoot me a DM.
Yeah, maybe sling that
work
thing
out a deal, maybe. Way. Maybe send you some Union Green balls.
Yeah, we still got some.
Yeah, out of business, but
yep. But yeah, the biggest note I've been getting is like, how old do you feel? I don't feel that old because I truly think that this same injury happened, the same scenario happens to me at 21. I think it still gets broken.
Well, I mean, like I just saw the neighbor girl down the street. She had a cast on her arm, probably up to like the top of her tricep
mm-hmm.
in like the L shape. So, I mean, I don't know. She's probably 6-7 years old. She broke her arm.
Yeah. Look, broken bones are way more of a young man's injury.
Right.
Like old men have slipped discs and pulled hammies and shit like that. If I would have just hurt myself running a sprint, then absolutely old man injury.
Yeah. And I mean, nobody was stretching before this thing. No one was like doing calisthenics.
Which is why I'm amazed nobody else like pulled a muscle. I'm sure there's.
I am very amazed.
The thing that made me feel the oldest had nothing to do with the injury. It was. Every time I ran a go route, I was sucking hind tit.
Oh God! I mean, I was probably two sprints in, and I'm like, "What's tired, going on,
dude?
Here? What? Where did this go?
Yeah, the lung capacity out the door. Gone.
No, I do think there's definitely still a way that you can make the whole golf thing work. And luckily, you know, two man show, so we get a push cart, we get a mm-hmm. scooter. You know, throw something on my show. I mean, I'm
well,
you know,
that's the thing. I think I'm going to have to become a cart guy for 4 to 6 weeks.
Everything happens for a reason.
Cause I'm not trying to crutch around or knee scooter around and also push my push cart at the same time.
Yeah. Imagine like, the amount of divots, or as you know, people come the pitch marks mm-hmm. on the green. If you were to just crutch on the green from the fringe over to your ball or whatever,
it'd be like raking the sand, but I'd have to fix divots for every step.
Yes. People would be absolutely up in arms about that.
Could get one of like the, well, bad reference, but the Oscar Pistorius leg things.
I don't know the reference.
Oh, on your knee. That runner. Well, he killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He was never charged or yeah. He was found not guilty, but
he used to run with both of his legs were amputated below the knee.
Blade runner.
Yeah.
He ran on the blades. In professional baseball?
No, he's a runner.
Oh.
Track and field.
Okay.
But anyways, they make like leg, you know how like you bend your knee with a leg scooter? They have the same thing, but it's just like they give
you a pirate peg leg.
A peg leg.
Yeah. I've seen those. The only shitty thing with those is you can walk around pretty good on them apparently, but you can't really sit anywhere because you got this peg leg sticking straight out.
That is true.
The bottom of your knee.
That is very true.
So like to work, I wouldn't be able to work is the issue.
Yeah,
I've looked at the peg legs. They look sweet.
It'd have to be an on and off sort of deal, which could get annoying.
It's actually you strap it to your thigh and then around the top of your calf.
Yep. I mean, there is options out there.
I think scooter is the move because I've seen it done. I have an expert resource in Twiggy. He can let me know. Maybe I'll just get the knee scooter from him. He obviously has one.
Yeah, maybe Twiggy a jingle.
You could use the bike. I mean, like the motorized bikes.
Yeah.
The motorcycles.
Well, and the thing is, too, like I can walk a little bit. So like I don't have to bring the scooter onto the green. I'm just absolutely not taking a full golf swing on this leg. But I could putt on it.
Yeah, we could also do the simulator thing too, just even if you wanted to stay off the greens, where we could just be like, oh yeah, that's 20 foot, we'll give you a 2-putt or whatever.
Yeah, make me before the round putt a shitload on the practice green, and then based on my how well I do, you guys can determine my auto putt. So if I putt really shitty on the practice green, you guys give me a bunch of 3-putt auto putts.
Yeah, we could auto fix putt is what they call it in sim. We could come up with something for that.
Or do you just let me putt because I can?
That's true.
Yeah. I'm also thinking, you know, like the stand-up jet skis. You guys ever ridden a stand-up?
I've never ridden one, no.
So you start out with like your body parallel with the water. You don't actually start up standing up on the jet ski.
Okay.
And then it's kind of like a knee board to where you like shift your weight up. You get your knees on like the foot pad and then you slowly work your way up to your feet. I mean, they have motorized bikes. They have carts. it would be kind of sweet to have something where you could just like kneel on a pad
and just rip.
And just rip a four, like something with four wheels. So where you could just one leg up, followed by the other one on your knees, rip to, I mean, throwing the leg over.
It's a little bit like the four wheel cart G-Dave got, the solo cart.
Okay.
Where he ran into Kevin in Myrtle Beach.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would also be kind of comfortable too.
Yeah. Your real cushy cushions, like real plushy ones. Yeah,
flopping your legs out the back.
Yeah.
Kind of freeing, if you will. Also, easier on the junk.
Much. True. Much. So we're scrambling for ideas. Thank God we got a couple videos shot last week.
We did. And again, we hadn't shot videos for a while. We've just been busy. And the 1 week we did was last week. And, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yep. Yep. And that reason is I was about to break my goddamn leg.
Yeah, but, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, at least it wasn't like, it would have been way better if this happened during kind of the burnout stage of the summer or the part of the summer where you like, you hit it hard.
Early August.
Spring and early summer. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, I just kind of need maybe like a month break.
Yep.
Yeah. Because, I don't know, I feel like, do you guys feel like things have kind of heated up around here in terms of being able to, like, I don't feel like I've fully accepted that I can now golf any day of the week that I want.
Oh,
It still feels a little early for me, even though it's not.
I had a tee time Saturday morning. I broke my leg Friday night.
Oh. Did you get charged for the cancellation?
No, my buddy, he still golfed.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. Yep.
Nice. No, I've been taking full advantage. I golfed 18 last night after work.
Hell yeah.
Well, because I feel like there was a time, I mean, the courses were open in January.
Yeah.
For like a weekend, mm-hmm. or one course was. And then February, I think they were open for a weekend or two. So it's been a quick on and then off and then on and then off. And I'm still like in that mindset of like, okay, well,
they're going to close again.
They're going to close or something like
even
that.
Even though it's 75 and gorgeous out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
You've been conditioned.
I kind of, yeah. The courses have never been open around here in January and February. So I'm still trying to get in that mindset. I still am having trouble, like, even just remembering to book a tee time for the weekend. Because, again, if you're not on at midnight, the amount of days before you want to golf to book your tee time, I think around here it's like 3 or 5 days beforehand.
Yeah, you could have answered this already, but remind me, did you do the membership again at the lake?
I didn't know. I didn't do the membership at the lake because last year, obviously fat deal for first time members, mm-hmm. 50% off the membership.
Yeah.
So I think I still paid like 400 some bucks. And I want to say I played one or two rounds for free.
Oh, and that's even on the discounted membership.
That's on the discounted membership. So yeah, it's not worth it for me.
But just put in a new name and number for your next new membership.
I could, yeah. New social security card.
Yep.
Yeah. Make, so I signed my kid up. That? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But also the whole like cart cost inflation. I technically didn't really play any rounds for free because I was still paying $24 for a cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the membership this year. I'm going to be
I think that's the right move. I think that is absolutely the right move.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm just going to kind of be a golf nomad, if you will.
I like
to travel around, go spot to spot. And that's normally what I do. I have my favorite courses around here, but to be locked in at one specific course and just having the feeling like I have to golf here, mm-hmm. I have to golf here just to get my money's worth. To me, it's not worth it.
No, I think you're 100% right. Cause I like bouncing around courses. I don't like playing the same one every single time.
I agree.
Like we do it for videos, but that's because it's convenient and it's our job.
Yep.
But when I want to golf leisurely, I don't want to play the same place every single week.
I agree. I want to switch it. And maybe if I did play the same course, I could have time to figure it out and figure out, you know, well, I need to lay up here or I can't hit driver on this tee box or whatever.
But I think that's less fun, to be honest.
I agree.
I think it's cool to show up to a course you've never played before in a scramble and just figure it out on the fly. Like half the fun is strategizing. Like, all right, well, I think there might be a window through those trees there. So Jake, maybe how about you lay up and then we'll have a really good second shot. Or Ryan, you try to cut this. I don't know how hard it is to carry those trees, but Ryan, you try to cut it anyway.
Yep.
I think that's half the fun in like playing a new course is just kind of scheming a little bit.
I 100% agree.
And then we do all that scheming and then we all flub our shots anyway. And then we just figure it out from there.
Yeah.
We have to sign up for some four-man scrambles this year. So I was looking at that. Chris Carter is doing like a charity scramble event out at the casino down south. And too close to your due date. And it's like, well, if I'm going to do scramble, like I would like to have the full breakfast ball squad.
I'm one of the biggest Chris Carter stands ever.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's kicking the nuts.
Yes. I learned of this scramble event because my mom sent me a screenshot, but what she didn't send me as part of the screenshot was the cost per team. Have you guys seen what the cost per team is for this Chris Carter charity golf
event? Let me guess. I'm going to say $600 per team.
I'm going to guess $1,200.
I'm going to guess $1,600 because that's
holy
the correct number.
Holy shit, dude.
So not
$400 a guy?
$400 a guy. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff included. I mean, I think there's a meal.
Chris Carter better come over to my house for dinner.
You better sign every one of my golf balls.
$400 a guy. You know, it includes, I'm sure, like a dinner, maybe a meet and greet. Who knows? Fuck, Chris Carter probably won't even be there.
Probably
won't. Just put his name on it.
Better be.
And then it's also at a casino. So
you're going to be gambling.
Me being the guy I am, I'm going to probably go in for a few hands of BJ after the fact or before.
Those are called HJs.
There's a sports book there. So probably going to throw in some futures or I think it's on a Saturday, probably a UFC event. That's $1,000 day for me. For sure. Gas to get down there. Maybe stay down there with my buddies. That's $1,000 day.
I got a future lock for you.
What is it?
Dallas Turner, defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, that's a lock, Tyler.
Yeah.
He's going to fit into Flores' scheme so well. He's going to have 8 sacks.
Okay. Maybe I have to go Chris Carter charity golf event. Just have an excuse to go to the sports book.
If you go, put me in on the same bet.
Okay.
I don't give people locks unless I'm willing to put my own money on it.
You know what the odds are?
I don't know what they are anymore. I know what they were like
right plus 300 or something
like that right after the draft.
Okay. I did go golfing this last weekend. I have officially played. Did you just see that?
What the fuck?
A guy driving it side by side out the window here with some sort of metal like. Scrap metal dragging against the road.
It's sparking. Did you see that?
Yeah. That's why I had to stop myself mid.
It's bad podcasting, but we got to tell. We have a window in the studio and drove by in his Ranger or whatever. And he's got a bunch of like square piping, like a frame of like a trailer or something hanging out of the back. It was just scraping down the concrete.
Okay. Well, moving on from that.
I do have one scramble I have on the books hoping to play. It all depends on baby's arrival date. But the veteran scramble in DL. So if you guys... GD. It all depends on when the baby comes. But there's two possibilities. Either we play on Grandpa Dave's team or we put our own team together and take the old man down.
Okay.
I played in it 3 years ago trying to take the old man down, but they cheated.
Female college golfer,
very good golfer
in the front tees.
Last minute replacement. They didn't tweak the handicap, so their random geriatric buddy was written down as his handicap, and then they had collegiate golfer come in and play in his spot. Not so idea. They beat us by one. He cheated.
So I at this point I've now played more rounds at Miles' Country Club than I have on public courses.
Oh, you've changed.
Dude. I know. I know.
Ryan.
But not by choice. It's just like, hey, if you get the invite, you take advantage of it.
Right. But
because I'm not gonna pay what the dues are.
I mean, a couple more times, Ryan's going to come in here with a pinky ring. His fucking collars are going to start popping.
Fur coat.
No, yeah. They did. I think they had ibuprofen in the men's bathroom. They had a bunch of travel size.
You
like snag
me
whatever.
Some? I need some for this leg.
Well, I had a little headache. I'm like, fuck, this is kind of a nice perk. You had 2 ibuprofen, 400 milligrams for
toss you
$100 around.
Got a little dish of Lifesaver mints in there too?
Or, yeah. So yeah, I've now played more at the private course than I have the public course. It's not proud of that at all. However, it is a very nice course and it was a very beautiful day. Shot 85.
Very good.
I was pretty happy about.
That's a tough course, too.
Legit 85 with five double bogeys.
Wow.
I had nine pars. I had five doubles. I had one birdie and I had, what's the remainder? Four bogeys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually like, again, everything happens for a reason. You may get really good at putting.
Yeah, I hope.
I would love to get.
I just got
to
get a goddamn knee scooter so I can get out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll put, I mean, it won't be restricted off the greens. We'll make it so that, you know, you could drive that baby right on. It's not going to leave any.
Either way, I can walk a little bit. Like yeah. I can handle just hitting the ball on my knee scooter from the fairways and the tee boxes and then putting normal. I can handle that.
Okay.
And
we're good.
I sent you a couple links there too, Tyler.
Thank you.
We got a couple on Prime. We get here in 2 days. So
outside of the, included in the five double bogeys were, I want to say five or six, three putts. Oof. And probably two or three of those three putts were within like 6 feet.
Oh,
I know. I gave you shit for your first round of the year. Yeah. Like four putted from 4 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
I was right there. Everything else was working. I was hitting greens. I could not fucking putt. And I mean, of course, I don't practice putting. How can I expect to be good at putting?
Do you not hit the putting green before you play?
Well, I usually show up right at my tee time.
Fair enough. That's
if I do hit the putting green, it's not a focused session on the putting green. Mm. It's more so like I'm just going to want to roll some balls. I don't take anything away from the putting green. Now, the putting, I would assume the putting greens roll just like the actual greens.
They're supposed to,
but I don't know if they do.
It's very rarely the case. The putting green is always a little bit slower.
And I'm like, usually dialed on the putting green.
Not a little bit slower. Like some courses, they're a lot fucking slower.
It's like, it's like fur.
Like Rose Creek, that first round I played, the putting green it was like putting through the rough compared to the actual game greens.
Yeah.
And it was like concrete to regular grass.
I'm usually dialed on the putting green because I'm not, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to roll some putts. It doesn't matter. Whatever. So the three putts have been absolutely destroying my scores. I got to get the mat out. I got to learn how to read a green first off. I have no fucking clue how to read a green.
I'm with you. I think I do, but I never do.
If I'm crouching down looking at what I think the break is, it's just not right. So and like 50% of the time, I'll get up, I'll look at it from behind and be like, oh yeah, I got the line. No, you don't, idiot. And then I'll get up to the ball and I'm like, wow, my feet feel way more sloped than I have accounted for. So I'll adjust my line. So I'm not hitting on, you know, the line on the ball, I'm not hitting that where I have it pointed. I usually adjust it from there. And half the time, fuck, I should have just stayed with the regular line because I probably would have made the putt.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of shit going through my head.
So I don't know if this is the case for everybody, but I'll poll you and trying to confirm my hypothesis. Out of your regular golfer friends, like not like scratch guys or pros or anything like that, who are the best putters you know?
It ain't me for sure.
It's a good question.
Okay, so the best putter, the best individual putter that I know personally and I have golfed with is Grandpa Dave. And the other best putters I know are his old friends. And they don't do any of that shit when they putt. They don't crouch down and they don't look at it like that. They stand behind the ball for like a second. They don't hold their club up, nothing. They just look at it. They walk over to it and they hit the fucking ball. I truly think like there's Dr. Izzy talked about this when we posted a reel about it. Where like literally you just, if you look at the hole, you look at your ball, your body internalizes, like instinctually knows what to do. And so the longer you take, the more practice putts you have, the longer you sit there and stare at it, your body forgets that instinct. And Grandpa literally just looks at it for like a second, walks up to it, taps the fucking ball, and it's always close. I've very rarely in my entire life have I seen him three putt. Like I can count on one hand probably the amount of times I've seen Grandpa Dave three putt.
Right before you said that, I had actually just answered the question that I had.
Mm-hmm.
when I'm on the practice screen, I'm dialed.
Right. You're not thinking about that shit.
And I'm not reading the break or anything like that on the practice screen.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to just walk up to the ball, like, obviously, you got to get a read at something. Yeah, like just see.
You can't just stand over it and expect yourself to get it. You got to take a look.
Okay. Take a look, get up to it, and hit it. I think it's very similar to, like, hey, take your practice swing, because practice swings normally feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then step right up to the ball and do the same exact swing with the ball on your club. It sounds so fucking easy and dumb, but it works. And I think the same thing applies to putting. If you get a quick read of the break, don't overthink it. You step up to the ball, you hit it. I think it's going to go much. It's going to go much better than if you were to sit there. Look at, you know, people always talk about, look at the way the grass is laying.
Right. You got
to look at the grain of the grass. And you got to look at where the water is. And I don't even know how to process that information.
Right. The pros know how to process that information because they've been training to do so for years. We are regular ass dudes that when you put that much in our brains, it overloads because we're not training to know what to do with the information anyway. So it's just in there taking up space.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know how to process it. We don't know what that does. We don't have a translation from here's what I think the read is to let's go make a putt now.
Right.
Yeah.
And that also applies to your fairway shots and your sand shots and all that stuff. Like last night I was golfing with Alan, right? And I don't know, I forget the situation, but he was like hitting out of a fairway bunker or something like that. And he was asking me like a question like, okay, so when the fairway sand is like up, but it's also angled back towards your feet, does that mean that you aim a little bit more left or you aim a little bit more right? And I'm like, dude,
Alan, just hit the ball.
Just hit the ball, because here's the thing. It not only does it not matter, the errors in your swing and all that stuff are just not going to.
Yeah, unless your swing is perfect, that those little details don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, all of that stuff is just taking up way more mental real estate than it is for you to just focus on hitting a good shot.
If we had intentions of becoming like pure scratch golfers and play competitively and all that, then maybe, yeah, we want to train ourselves to figure out how to do everything correctly by the book and learn what to do with all that information. But for me anyway, I'm not trying to get to that. I'm just trying to have a good time and not get pissed off on the course, maybe make a few more putts than normal. So I'm fully committing to the Grandpa Dave method of putting. I will not be crouching down to get my ball or to line up my ball. I will not be sitting there holding my putter up. I'm not walking off any putts. I'm going to stand behind it, get a general idea, walk up to the thing and putt it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, people always ask the questions like, well, how do you get from a 16 handicap down to a 10? Or how do you get from a 10 to a 5? And I think one of the answers is to do what we just said, just care less. Not so much care less, but just think less.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's holding people back from dropping their handicap, dropping their scores, is that this is the obvious. There's too much information going around in your head. You're not able to make a concrete decision on how you want to hit the ball. You have to just learn how to aim properly at the pin, the green, whatever. Learn how to aim properly and then just hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more times you do that, the more you're going to be able to process information of like, okay, well, like in the swing mechanics, okay, like my hands are wide open. I'm like hitting a heavy fade. So like I'm coming across my body. More stuff like that versus like how the grass is lying and the left to right lie or the right to left lie. It's going to kick the ball one way or the other. Average golfers like us are just thinking way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's holding us back from posting better scores.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I've noticed about specifically myself this year is that I've really just given up on swing thoughts, period. Just in the middle of a round. It's just like, just hit the ball. I practice hitting the ball in the simulator. I just know how to hit a golf ball now. I'm not going to think about my swing or anything like that. If I have a cut, I'm going to play the cut. If I have a whatever, all that stuff. And all of my scores this year, number one, have been really consistent. I played seven rounds now.
Mm-hmm.
Every single round has either been a 91 or a 92.
Damn.
And so like I'm not my variation, my like, you know, I'm not having big swings of scores or anything like that. But I'm also like finding ways to be stoked about putts going in and
right.
like all of that stuff. And it's way more fun.
Well, that's the thing too. Like it's a hell of a lot easier to improve when you are consistent like that. Then if you, if you do want to learn to shave 5 strokes off, you can, because you're doing the same thing every time. So now you can change that same thing Definitely. Every time. If you're like me, I'm all over the fucking place. So it's like, where do you start?
Yeah.
You know? Like I could shoot a 99 one day, I could shoot a 85 the next. Like, and more often than not, I'm like in the mid 90s. Like, so I'm all over the place. So like being consistent is actually awesome.
Yeah.
So
whether
now
you're shooting 100 consistently or you're shooting 82 consistently.
Right. So like, I think that's, you're in a great spot. So if you do want to improve now there's very specific things that you can work on to improve because you are so consistent.
Yes. But the reason why I got consistent is because I gave up on focusing on improving. Right. It's nice.
Like you can pick one thing, and just think about that. You don't have to think about like 12 things to try and get better. It's like for me, I'd have to think about my grip. I'd have to think about my backswing. I'd have to think about my hands coming through it to get markedly. You can pick one thing at a time and just like, all right, my putting now I'm going to work on that. And then you shave 3 strokes off a round. Now you're shooting at your 88s every single round. And then you're like, okay, I got this putting thing down. It's muscle memory. And then you can pick something else.
Mm-hmm. Here are my stats from Saturday. And I think whether you want to believe that this proves the point we're just talking about or not, I hit 61% of greens on Saturday and I hit 43% of fairways. And the fairways that I didn't hit, I was honest about it. If it was in the first cut, if 2 feet off the fairway, I didn't hit the fairway.
Mm-hmm.
43% of fairways. And I would say probably 3 or 4 of those fairways that I didn't hit were, 10 yards off of the fairway. Mm-hmm. So it's still like very playable. And again, it simply just comes down to thinking less, not care. If you come out to if you go into a round thinking like, it's just going to be fun. I don't care if I play good. Odds are you might just play pretty decent. Mm-hmm. And then.
Well, that's like my best round ever. We just got drunk and played 3-putt poker.
Boom.
That was literally our entire intent.
Like, and I am by no means qualified to give golf advice, which is why I've started to only give one piece of advice. If someone starting out is frustrated about not being able to get better or shoot lower scores, any tips you can give me, like feel free to just like shout them out. It's like, okay, well I could do that, but it's going to fuck everything else up. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest tip for people to try and get better, if you're like at that 100 shooting 100 range, just focus on making good ball contact.
Mm-hmm.
We can figure out where the ball goes later down the line. But if you can just simply make good ball contact
and like consistent ball contact
consistently.
Right.
Look at how big the face of the club head is and how big the ball is. It's not easy to make good, consistent ball contact.
No.
And none of us are still making good, consistent ball contact. But if you can think about that and you can go away with like, okay, today I made pretty good ball contact, then worry about the other shit later.
It's a guide to being an average golfer.
It's an easy game.
We should make that book, Guide to Being an Average Golfer, and make it like 4 pages long.
Easy game.
Yeah.
Think less, drink more.
Mm-hmm. Have fun.
Good ball contact. Have fun.
Celebrate pars.
And then
that's the last one.
Play for par. End, P.S. Keep your head down.
Keep your head down.
That's a good one. It doesn't even have to be a book, Tyler. I think we could just get away with a brochure or a pamphlet.
Yeah, brochure or an ebook. We could just do online.
It's harder to sell a brochure.
That's true.
Usually free.
Yeah.
$4.99. A lot more bookstores than there are pamphlet stores. Yeah. So,
I mean, Game of Thrones literally sold. I don't know why I'm telling this story. Game of Thrones literally sold thousands of copies of a Hodor POV book, where the entire book says the word Hodor over and over. It's like 400 pages of it just saying Hodor, 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 over and over and over.
Sounds like a pretty easy read.
Yeah. So like, if they can sell that book, we can sell this book.
Also, guys, last night I eagled for the first time.
Shit.
Yeah.
First time ever?
It's my first eagle. I also eagled a par four.
No way. You chip in or what?
Dude, yeah. It was drivable par four. It's about 270 yards. Absolute screamer of a drive. And it landed, I don't know, maybe 10 feet off the side of the green. Mm-hmm. Not even. Maybe 6 to 8 feet. And short-sided chip. Greens were fast. I landed the ball right on the skirt. The second that it hit the skirt, I said, no fucking way. And yeah, just waltzed right into the hole.
Hell yeah.
Dropped down. I was like, yeah, Alan and Jade were there last night. We were going
crazy.
Yeah, we were going crazy.
That's a sweet moment. Did you save that ball? You put it in a frame?
Nope. Lost it the next hole.
2 under in one hole.
Yeah. Never had that happen before. It was fucking
first
sweet.
Hole?
No.
Oh.
That was just my first one. Like, that was my first eagle. And like, Ryan, last time we were out, I had an eagle putt too on a par five.
Yeah.
I've had a couple eagle putts this year already, which is kind of crazy.
See, that's your problem. It's putting. You got to have eagle chips.
Thank you, Tyler. Yeah. Boom. Yeah, that was awesome. It was Village Green. I couldn't tell you which hole, but yeah.
Fucking gold.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Congrats on your eagle.
Yeah, I'm now eagled. I get a little like badge and a star. Yeah.
That was a seagull.
I've been doing that with my kid. Like, he's been big into birds.
Yeah.
So,
you're raising a bird watcher?
Kind of, yeah. He's huge.
You gotta get him around Jake. Jake's dropping eagles.
We have nests underneath our deck, so like we'll like fucking crouch down underneath the like little overhang of the deck and like see if the mom's in there. And last night she was in there, and fuck, thank God it happened when he wasn't looking. But one of the babies must have fell out of the nest, and then I see my dog carrying it over into the yard, and I didn't even see it. But so my kid's back was turned, so I went and grabbed the bird and put it in the dog shit bucket. And was that. So, I mean, my dog is, I have trained her to find birds. So she did what she's trained to do.
Yeah, that's good. Because then it's better than your kid finding it.
Correct. Yes. So
and I have trained Jake to find birds as well. He found an eagle.
Boom.
Yep.
Boom.
Congrats, Jake. Boom.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I got to dip out of the podcast. We're going to end it now. We had a good segment that we're going to do save it for next week. So next week we'll come with we'll come with some heat. Yeah, that's all I got. I mean, professional golf wise, the Rory and the tour, the PGA Tour board or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of shit going on there.
Yeah,
maybe touch on that next week. Sacrificial lamb. The guy can't catch a break.
Yeah, we gotta have a little dust settle on that one for sure.
Yeah. He did win this last weekend, though, which is...
It's not a major. No one cares if Rory wins anymore.
Quail Hollow, though. Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Nice Wells Fargo, bunch of scammers, by the way. Okay. Yep. Guys, we're going to wrap the pod up. We'll be back next week. Episode 190.
Hit me up about those knee scooters.
Yeah. Let's go.
Love you guys.
Love you.
They piped that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay. They cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah. No better time for the breakfast ball than now. Ha ha ha!